Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Will the Republicans be able to get the job done? I know one guy who's working really, really hard to make sure that that happens. Excuse me. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. That's Congressman Dan Muser, who represents Pennsylvania in the House of Representatives. And he joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Congressman, how are you today?
Rich, never been better. How are you?
Good, my friend. Never been better, too. How's sunny Florida treating you?
Well, I'll tell you what. We were inside all day. Just got out after a very detailed meeting on the reconciliation bills and just making sure that we deliver on the America First agenda, that we rein in taxes on small businesses and families and regulations and energy policy and everything that President Trump wants in that big, beautiful bill. He was here last night. Outlined in great detail exactly what he's looking for. J.D. Vance, our vice president, was here today reiterating, and I think we know what the job at hand is.
Yeah. So is there cooperation among the ranks? Because that's one of the narratives that I've heard today is that there's just not this Republican unity right now.
Yeah. Well, there has to be, and we'll, I think, in the end, have it. Look, if something's 96% positive and you have questions, you don't necessarily hate a small percentage of it, you've got to go with it. We simply cannot make very good the enemy of perfect, or even great the enemy of perfect. And you know what? The American people elected Donald Trump, obviously, and his agenda was on the ballot, and we need to see through his agenda. If he's for the final bill, quite frankly, we need to be for it. And I have a saying that I said many times today. My only red line is that there are no red lines. Nobody has the right to have a red line. We need to do what's in the best interest in our system of government for the American people, for our economy, for our national security, for our social status, for our schools. This is all going to be in this bill, and it's just too important to nitpick.
You know, it is too important to nitpick, and there has to be that kind of unity. The other thing that I think is very, very important about this is that President Trump has a lot of the same goals, which I know you have as well, which is to shrink the size of the executive branch of government, to rein this in, right, which is what DOGE is about. And yep. this is a rare opportunity. We've talked about this before. We talked about this on the campaign trail when you're so generous with your time coming on the show. I mean, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity we have here to really rein in the executive branch. Let's seize it. You have a president who wants that. Let's make it happen.
So true, Rich. And again, you know, when you have 97%, 98% of the conference agreeable, and there are a few that are bringing up certain matters that, you know, maybe difficult to get done in a perfect sense. You know, even the whole SALT debate, the state and local tax deduction, that would be helpful for many out there, but they're not going to get, there will be an increase, but they're not going to get everything they want. We have a really serious spending problem. You and I have spoken about this. Heck, we talked about this out at the convention. I mean, we have to deal with that. There are going to be some, maybe in swing districts that don't like that we're greatly reducing the type of increases that have existed. I mean, look, the American people get it. It doesn't tend to poll at the highest levels, but the fact of the matter is that in 2020, heading into COVID, our federal spending was $4.5 trillion. It went up to 6.7, 6.8. It went up a lot because of COVID. And then, of course, Biden came in and doubled down on it all, and it's barely ratcheted back. That's why we have a $1.5 trillion deficit this year alone. And why? Why would we have to have that? Even you factor inflation in, we should be able to cut $1 trillion and still deliver the same services that we did 4 years ago.
The SALT debate, state and local taxes. I mean, I'm in New Jersey. I pay a ton of money for my local property taxes. But look, at the same time, my blue state governor spends a ton of cash, and it's infuriating. But, you know, there's a question of whether or not people should be subsidizing my property taxes, essentially. There's a counter argument to that, which is, hey, anytime you give a tax deduction, it's a good thing because it's more money in my pocket that I get to spend. And so a tax credit is really not spending. So how is that debate playing out? How do you see it? I mean, you know, it's a tough one. It really is. It's a tough philosophical argument.
Well, you know, I don't know. I guess it's philosophical, but come the end of the day, anything more than a $30,000, and that might be too high. Right now it's a 10. It used to be a 20. Heck, it used to be uncapped. Which was a great write-off, if you will, for heavily taxed blue states.
Yeah.
They were more favorable. They gained more benefit from it than most of Pennsylvania. But the fact is, in doing the math, someone would have to have a $25,000 property tax bill and be making $300,000 a year or more if it were raised to $35,000. So anything above that is really for those who are very well off. And this is the, you know, a mass discussion I'm having with some members. And, you know, it shouldn't be any higher than that. And by the way, every $10,000 adds $17 billion in revenue loss. Now, let's face it. When you have a revenue loss, that doesn't mean that all of it's gone, because there is a multiplier effect that exists out there, and a lot of that money would be spent, and so forth and so on. But still, we're looking to reduce our debt, and we're going to find the ways to do it. And all the while, however, pro-growth initiatives are a huge part of this. We need to have the most enterprising, the most successful economy in the world to start a business, to run a business, to bring manufacturing back, to create great jobs, to deliver quality of life, to deliver revenue so we can really improve our transportation infrastructure. And this is all part of it. This is the opportunity we have, and we better not blow it over so-called red lines.
I agree with you. Congressman Dan Muser, let's switch gears over to Trump's nominees. Tulsi Gabbard, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and Kash Patel. Those are the three ones right now that apparently are facing the most headwinds. And look, they are absolutely 100% disruptors. President Trump's a disruptor. And in my opinion, I want disruptors in our government at this time.
You said it. You're a disruptor. Heck, I'm a disruptor. But you know what? We're constructive disruptors, not destructive disruptors. We don't just disrupt for the sake of disrupting. And look,
that's good. My children do. Yeah. But we're adults, damn it. We don't.
Right. Tulsi Gabbard, I mean, look, she served four terms as a member in the House. She's on the Armed Services Committee. She's a lieutenant colonel in the Army and has served for over 20 years. People got to give her a chance. President Trump trusts in her. She's going to go through the nomination process, and I think she's going to do fine, I think. And just as I said with J.D. Vance, let's see. He needs to improve himself. It's not like he's, you know, been in establishment and been everywhere for decades on end. Let's see how he does. And I say the same thing about Tulsi. I think she's going to do fine. You know, Cash, you know, I know him. You know him. Look, he worked with Devin Nunes. He uncovered some important things. He's the one who primarily uncovered the Russia hoax. I mean, he's going to go in there and really cleanse the FBI, make it transparent. That's all he wants to do. He's got no chip on his shoulder, no vendetta. He was a federal prosecutor. He was chief of staff to the acting Secretary of Defense. The guy's real bright. And again, Trump trusts in him. And I'll tell you this on RFK, like, you know, he's getting all this, you know, our system of health in the country ought to perhaps be ashamed of themselves, right? The level of illnesses, both mental and physical, that have increased over the last 30, 40, 50 years. I mean, hell, we had red dye number 3 that existed in the U.S. and has been banned in the EU for the last 55 years, more than you've been born and almost as much as you've been born, and same for me. I mean, that's wrong. This guy is going to come in. He's going after what I'm going to start calling the 3 F's: food, pharma, and government.
I see what you did there. Good. He should. I mean, really, look, I said this earlier in the show. I know a lot of the parents in my area. I mean, I got a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And the biggest issue for a lot of these families is food. It really is. It's just getting healthy food to their kids and in schools. And they've got a lot of questions on things. They really feel as if the deck is stacked against them. I mean, I'll give you an example. I sent my son to school with money to buy lunch, and he tells me, Dad, I had a cheesesteak, Doritos, and a soda. And look, I mean, that sounds great to me on the weekend, like once in a while, but should our school kids be eating that every single freaking day in the school cafeteria? Hell no. But I sent him with healthy stuff, and there's a black market in the cafeteria where their kids are all trading snacks and food, Congressman. Yeah. So, you know, as parents, we hope somebody goes in there and asks these tough questions at the FDA and finds out things like, hey, is there a link with red dye number 3 or 5 with ADHD and things like that?
And that's what it is, asking the tough questions, being the disruptor, asking, just because we've always done it that way, is that the best way to keep doing it? I mean, there's titanium dioxide. The more you look into what's in our food, you know, bromine, all of these things are banned in Europe, banned in Canada, and yet they're in our foods. And, you know, MAHA, right? MAHA, make America healthy again. I like even say, let's MAHA is also make America happy again. We can do it. And and we'll see how he does. You know, they're coming after him about vaccines, and you know, there's like 9 or 10 vaccines that we all get that are required, even if you come and get a legal visa in our country, and they all look fine. But shouldn't they also just be at least questions, and certainly not enhanced?
Look, I'll tell you this. I mean, from my perspective of living in the state of New Jersey, there's a mandate that my preschool daughter has to get a flu shot. I mean, should she? I don't know. And that's the point, is that I want to be able to ask questions and not be labeled a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist or being accused of killing people. But a lot of parents have questions about the vaccine schedule. They're not anti-vaccine. They have questions. They want to know about ingredients, the timing. You got a newborn baby, and they're loading the kid up right away with all kinds of things. And, you know, I mean, should they slow it down a little bit? These are the kind of questions you get accused of being anti-vaccine if you even raise your hand and ask something, and that's ridiculous. Let me ask you this, Congressman, before I let you go, because I know you're busy and you got to get back to it, but there's a rumor out there that Tulsi Gabbard's vote may happen in secret. Have you heard that? I mean, that sounds to me to be just blatantly, unconstitutional. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry, I haven't. But you know what? I'll find out, even if it's a rumor, and I'll text back to you so you can tell your listeners. But no, I really have not heard that.
Okay, because Senator Mike Lee retweeted something about that and said the vote should be done in public. I hope to God that it's just really just a bad rumor, because we need to know where these senators stand on this, obviously. Well, keep up the good work, and we appreciate you, and we appreciate all the hard work you do, and we hope people follow you on X at Rep Muser, M-E-U-S-E-R. And please, my friend, come back and talk to us very soon.
Will do, Rich. Boy, you do a great job. You're a great American. Appreciate you very much, my friend.
Thank you, buddy.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
I do like that dude a lot. He's a good guy. He really is. I like him, and I like Van Drew, and I like Kat Kamek a lot. These are good people. I like them. They're down-to-earth people. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean I dislike other people. I'm just saying those three are very down-to-earth and always accessible to us. Every time we ask them to come on, they come on. So it's great. But I'm happy about that, and happy that, like, Van Drew, you know, representing Cape May in Congress and that whole part of the Jersey Shore, killing the windmills, that's huge. Absolutely huge. Yeah, Scott Perry. In fact, get him back on the show, Matt, if you would. Perry's great. He's terrific. He's a fighter for freedom. Who am I missing? Who else? Senator Dave McCormick, obviously.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, Senator Dave McCormick. I think he's the only senator that really comes on the show, right?
We might have a senator later this week, but I don't want to say who it is and jinx it.
Ooh, secret.
I shouldn't even say that, because now I definitely jinxed it.
You didn't jinx it. As long as you don't spell the name wrong and then write, you didn't jinx it. The mayor of Philadelphia jinxed it, but, you know. A judge has put a pause on Trump's freeze of federal loans and grants. So John Stewart made this really funny joke. And it basically was like, here's Trump when he comes out with the 14th Amendment, and he signs an executive order saying the end of birthright citizenship. And he played a clip of all these media outlets going, this is fascism, this is fascism, this is a king, this is tyranny. And then the next clip is federal judge puts pause on Trump's executive order on citizenship. And then John Stewart comes back and he's like, oh my God, I'm sure he's going to ignore the courts. And then the next clip is Trump going, well, we'll appeal that ruling, obviously. And then John Stewart comes back and he's like, oh my God, that's our system. This is our system. This is how this works. So ultimately, the 14th Amendment issue of birthright citizenship, whatever you think about it, whatever I think about it, whatever President Trump thinks about it, it's going to ultimately be decided by the United States Supreme Court. Bottom line. You know, I've been saying that for years. It will ultimately be decided by the court. I have my opinion on it. I think my opinion's correct on it, which is that at the time of the 14th Amendment, people were not, if you did not have a legal claim to the United States of America, then your kid was not considered a citizen if he was born on U.S. soil. But will that survive U.S. Supreme Court scrutiny? I don't know. I just don't know. I can't predict. It's all going to come down to the legal arguments. It's going to come down to what, and this is going to drag out for years. I mean, understand this now. A federal judge has paused the president's executive order on birthright citizenship. So it's going to get argued at multiple layers. Ultimately, it's going to wind up before the United States Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, and we don't even know at that point who's going to be on the court. Let's assume it's this current court makeup. This current court would have to look at that issue. This is going to have to go back and examine case law, not just Supreme Court case law, but obviously other court rulings, too, depending on what the argument the United States of America makes, because the United States of America will be in court before the Supreme Court arguing that birthright citizenship is not part of the 14th Amendment if the parents don't have a legal claim to the U.S. They'll cite historical precedent. They'll cite arguments from the architects of the 14th Amendment. And then on the flip side of that, the people that are suing the United States of America over that, suing the Trump administration to try to stop it, and all the people that file the amicus briefs in support of that, friend of the court briefs, saying that the 14th Amendment absolutely guarantees birthright citizenship, are going to make the argument. This has been established precedent in the United States of America since 19 whatever, and they're going to say that this would destroy the system, and then ultimately the Supreme Court's going to, nine people are going to rule on that question. I mean, unless there is a specific constitutional amendment that is black and white that says, like, very clearly, Otherwise, the text of the 14th Amendment is going to be subject to interpretation. My interpretation, which I believe is right, because I go back to the original intent of the framers of the 14th Amendment, the context of the time at which it was ratified, and the arguments that were made during the ratification, and it was very clear at the time, this was about freed slaves. This was about black Americans. This wasn't making sure that people like Frederick Douglass, everybody understood Frederick Douglass is an American citizen. It was not about somebody who sneaks into our country illegally or is over here on business or diplomatic mission and has a kid, because citizenship meant something, and it was, and it had, there had to be a legal claim to it, which was consistent with how other countries viewed citizenship at the time. That's the argument that I believe is the correct argument. Will that pass the constitutional, or I should say the Supreme Court's scrutiny? I believe that Justice Scalia will view it that way. Justice Alito will view it that way. I believe that Justice Thomas will view it that way. I believe Justice Gorsuch will view it that way. I believe Justice Kavanaugh will view it that way. I know the three on the left will not. I don't think John Roberts will view it that way. So this could come down to Amy Coney Barrett. It could be a 5-4 decision. Either way. It could be a 5-4 decision either way. And I remember when, you probably remember this too, back in the early 90s, when there was a guy back then who was the governor of Pennsylvania. His name was Bob Casey. You know his son, the lesser Casey, who's gone back into hiding. Thank God. Anyway, Bob Casey cut off funding for Planned Parenthood, a big Supreme Court case, Casey v. Planned Parenthood. You remember that? Landmark decision. Will Roe v. Wade be overturned? And the Supreme Court justice that everybody was rooting for, because she was appointed by President Ronald Reagan, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, would have been the swing vote at the time in the early 90s to overturn Roe v. Wade. She felt that it was too much to do. She didn't want to do that. So she sided with the liberals on the court, and ultimately they upheld upheld Roe v. Wade. When that ultimately decision comes down to it, I have no doubts about where Justice Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Thomas. Well, Kavanaugh, I wonder about him, but I think he's better. I think he's gotten better than where he was. So I really feel confident about him. Because these are people that understand textualism, originalism, intent. Roberts, hell no. There's no way John Roberts, as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, I'm telling you right now, is going to vote to overturn the concept of birthright citizenship. There's no way. Trust me on this. No freaking way. Okay? When have I been wrong? Okay, fine. I said Doug Burgum was going to be the next president of the United States of America. Fine. And I thought COVID came from an undercooked bat burger with a side of penguin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. Fine. So sue me. When else have I been wrong? Matt DeSantis, what other things have I gotten wrong?
You're rarely wrong. It annoys me. I wish you would get some things incorrect.
Yes, I said Doug Burgum and the Burgum Bros were going to carry him to the White House. Usher him in to a new era of Burgumism? Could still happen, by the way. He is the secretary of the... What is it again?
I actually don't know what department. They made up a department for him. He's got two roles within the cabinet.
Isn't he like,
right?
The secretary of the interior, though?
Yeah.
You know, we've had a lot of presidents who were the Secretary of the Interior rose to the presidency. One day I could be proven right on that prediction. And yeah, I mean, the undercooked bat burger, the side of penguin fries and a raccoon dog aioli, who could have known it came from a lab? But anyway, by the way, if you're new to the show, and we are growing. I mean, I don't think we are growing now faster than ever before. And I thank you for that. So if you're just joining us, you have to learn my sarcasm, and it's okay. The Zioli Army will help you understand it, but I often use sarcasm. So, for example, I really don't think COVID came from an undercooked bat burger with a side of penguin fries and a raccoon dog aioli, and I've been saying since March 2020 that came from a lab. But I love sarcasm and hyperbole. Burgum, though, I saw him going all the way. All right, now that one was real. I saw Doug Burgum on Mount Rushmore. That Matthew McConaughey hair of his. But anyway, besides that, I haven't been wrong. So John Roberts will never vote to overturn the concept that exists in America right now, that if you were born on U.S. soil, you are a U.S. citizen. Don't doubt me on that. I'm not wrong. This case, if it's heard by this current Supreme Court, will come down to Amy Coney Barrett. Don't doubt me. Write this down. On January 28th, in the year of our Lord, 2025, at 5:25 p.m., I am telling you right now, this is going to be a 5-4 decision. Amy Coney Barrett will be the swing justice. See if I'm wrong. And then the issue of birthright citizenship, if you want to bet and polymarket whether or not Amy Coney Barrett decides to overturn that precedent that exists in America right now, or is she going to be Justice Sandra Day O'Connor? Very similar, right? I mean, both appointed by conservative presidents, both you would hope rise to the moment, and yet when the moment comes, it's a big letdown. So we'll see. I don't know. But I know that that case will eventually be before the Supreme Court. On the Tulsi vote, the vote in the Intelligence Committee on her nomination will be conducted behind closed doors based on committee rules. Members are free to discuss their votes afterwards, but the committee will only make the final vote tally public, but not how each member voted. Assuming she passes committee, the full Senate vote on Tulsi Gabbard would be a public vote. Thank you, Matt, for the clarification on that. Thank you to Congressman Dan Muser for coming through the clarification for us on that. He, man of his word, got right back to us on that. I don't like that. I don't like that any more than you do. But that's apparently the rules of the committee, so hopefully she gets through. I don't know. I hope to God it gets through. If she doesn't, then you know exactly the fact that there's a Republican in the ranks who didn't vote for her, because it's a split committee with one Republican in the majority. So you'll know that. And then the question is, when it goes before the full Senate, will Tulsi Gabbard get the support of Mitch McConnell, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski? The answer is no. No chance. Is there going to be another senator that breaks? And will J.D. Vance have to jump in once again? And will J.D. Vance have to jump in and break the tie on Tulsi Gabbard? Or will there just be another Republican who votes to sink her? So, I pray to God she gets in. I really do. Todd Young is the wild card in all this. This guy named Todd Young, Senator Young. I don't know much about the guy, but he's a wild card. And Susan Collins is on that committee. So, you know, if she doesn't survive the committee scrutiny, we'll know exactly who those Republicans are, and we should hold them accountable, in my opinion. All right, we got a lot more to talk about, but I'm very happy with the Grand Hotel because they're doing a Buffett weekend, the end of February, going into March. They're doing a Jimmy Buffett weekend at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. How cool is that? Yeah, they're going to have a buffet. Get it? Buffett buffet. They're going to have all kinds of drinks, specials, and it's got a room special going on. Just go to grandhotelcapemay.com, get all the details, and hey, get away. End of February, beginning of March. Great way to, like, you know, get ready for spring and shove off the winter blues. Have friends around, hang out. If my leg is up to it, I'd love to go. It sounds like a blast. Who doesn't love Buffett? GrandHotelKMA.com. Check it out. Now, we have a lot more to get to. The left, of course, melting down over the deportations. But again, using the Zioli standard here, the question I have for you is, would you want any of these people to be at your Super Bowl party? If not, shut the hell up about who President Trump is deporting, okay? Shut the hell up about it. But a lot of these people are whining about this. Now, in Chicago, the mayor is vowing to continue to protect illegal aliens in Chicago, all right? However, the border czar, Tom Holman, had a great point to make. He had a lot of great points to make. He had a lot of really great points to make on this. And he said this, too. He came out and he said exactly what needs to happen in Chicago. But I'll get to that in a second, because first of all, before I get out of this segment, I want to play a clip for you of Jeffrey Toobin. All right? I don't think there's a better way to get out of this segment than with a little Toobin. You know what I mean? Like, let's do a little Toobin here. So Jeffrey Toobin, who amazingly still has a job on CNN after Toobining it, which is now a verb. You know, it's like how Robert Bork's father was borked by Ted Kennedy. That's a verb now. And I got a little text chain going, and my buddy Doug Kersey. So he keeps resending memes that the rest of us already send. So we say you got Kersey'd. Like, if you send a meme that's already been sent in the group, and then there's you Toobin it. Tubing is when you know, you whip it out on a Zoom call, and you know, you feel free to turn your Your son, you're using your body like an amusement park, to quote Mrs. Costanza. All right. So with that introduction, let us present Jeffrey Toobin, how shocked he is. And if this is a man who knows shocking, this is truly a man who understands shock value. OK, so when Jeffrey Toobin talks about shocking, remember, this is the man who set the standard on this. Could you imagine being on that freaking Zoom call that day and this guy's whipping it out and, you know, no longer master of his domain or king of his castle? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there is anything more shocking than that in the entire universe. Cut 21.
Jeff, do these firings pass muster?
They are unprecedented in American history.
Stop it right there. You know what else is unprecedented in American history? You... a guy at a Zoom call... Matt, jump in and save me, please, before we lose the FCC license. Could you help me out here? I know, this close.
I know we're trying to get more guests via Zoom. Toobin, probably not on our short list, right?
Justin, you know what else is unprecedented in American history? A guy whipping it out during a Zoom call and making himself, you know what I mean? Like, using his body like the Cyclone at Great Adventure.
Oh, God.
Turning his body into a homemade volcano experiment, if you know what I mean.
Oh.
That is unprecedented in American history. On a freaking Zoom call. I'm just saying. You're talking about shock value and unprecedented behavior. How far did I make it into that clip before I asked you to stop it, by the way? How many seconds was that?
I think it was like five or six seconds in before we stopped.
Five seconds. Is that a new record for the Zioli show? Matt, I know you keep track of all this. That may be a new show record.
No, there's some yelling clips that I don't think he even made it, you know, 2 seconds into. She basically got one word out and I had to pause.
Oh, my God. In 2 minutes. All right, back up the clip. Let me try to get through this, okay? Please help me get through this. All right, go ahead.
Jeff, do these firings pass muster?
They are unprecedented in American history.
I can't. Because what's unprecedented is the guy in his Zoom call whipping it out and just, you know, like, hey, look at me, lotioning it up. I think that's unprecedented. All right, I'm sorry, but a president firing people in the executive branch is actually not unprecedented. That happens in every administration. Literally not unprecedented has been happening since John Adams became president. What's unprecedented, however, is somebody in a Zoom call, you know, doing a Toobin. That's completely unprecedented. I don't think it's ever happened before. I don't think it's ever happened again. I could be wrong. All right. 3 seconds is the record. That lasted 3 seconds or 5 seconds? What's the final analysis on that?
5 seconds. That's when he says unprecedented.
Which is, by the way, how long Jeff Toobin lasted.
I'm sorry.
But, you know, that call, you know, yeah, he's not a long distance guy. Let's put it that way. All right. It's very much like a Fox News appearance, okay? You spend all day with the ramp up, and then it's over in a matter of seconds. You know what I mean? That's kind of like that. All right, coming up, John Fetterman. I don't know how I still have a job. I really don't. I don't know how I have a job. I don't know how this is possible, but maybe I'm still in a coma at Cooper. It's very possible. Maybe I died on the air the other day putting in my own antibiotic injection. Is that possible? I just died in the middle of the show. Some sort of, this is like Dante's Eighth Inferno. All right. We're all gonna try to keep a straight face now and take a legitimate break. Come right back.
This segment was a total disaster.
No, it wasn't. We had Congressman Muser on.
Well, okay, the first half was good. Once he left.
And the reality is, we never even got through what Toobin was saying. The clip's like, what, a minute and a half?
It's 51 seconds, yeah.
We went 5 seconds in on a 51-second clip and got nowhere this entire segment. This is amazing. If you're playing at home right now, I hope you're drinking. All right, quick break. We'll come right back. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in on X at Rich Zeoli. Appreciate you being here today. Appreciate you being here every day. Thank you very much. Incredible YouTube comments, by the way, on the tube and stuff. If I read them again, I will just start laughing and I will lose my concentration. And we have some serious business to get to, but I will say it again. The Zeoli Army is the funniest, most loyal, and brilliant audience in the history of talk radio, bar none, period. Now, with regard to the immigration stuff, look, you got to understand the agenda out there of the corporate media is paint Trump as a racist who wants to deport people, scare people. This is, again, what they're doing. Okay, this is the fear-mongering that's happening. To prove my point here, let me play this for you. Okay, this is now, you have to understand that millions of people are hearing this. All right, millions of people are hearing this. Actually, before I do that, I want to play a clip of Jackie Heinrich from Fox News today. Caroline Levick crushed it at the White House press briefing, her first one. She's a remarkable woman. I was heavily advocating for her to get the job. People were joking me back then about, like, oh, Rich, you should do it. I said, no, it shouldn't be me. I said 100% should be Caroline Levitt. She was outstanding during the campaign. If you remember, somebody came on the show, Phil Kirpin, and he said Scott Jennings. I was like, stop that. Caroline Levitt all the way. And I was rooting for her. I was so glad she got it. And today, if you had any doubts about her ability to do the job, wow. Jackie Heinrich asked a question regarding stripping security from critics of President Trump today, cut 32.
If they broke our nation's laws, yes, they are criminal. Yeah.
On stripping security details for figures like John Bolton, Pompeo, Brian Hook, Senator Tom Cotton said that he's seen the intelligence and the threat from Iran is real for anyone who played a role in Soleimani's strike. He voiced concern it wouldn't just impact those individuals, but potentially their family, innocent bystanders, friends, anyone who's near them when they're out in public. Is the president open to reconsidering his decision?
The president was asked and answered this yesterday, and he was firm in his decision, despite some of the comments that you had referenced. And he's made it very clear that he does not believe American taxpayers should fund security details for individuals who have served in the government for the rest of their lives. And there's nothing stopping these individuals that you mentioned from obtaining private security. That's where the president stands on it. I have no updates on that.
Is there any concern that this decision might jeopardize the administration's ability to hire the best advisors for these kinds of positions in the future?
No. In fact, I've talked to the Presidential Personnel Office, who has told me directly that there is such an influx of resumes for this administration that it's incredibly overwhelming. There is no lack of talent for the Trump administration. Reagan,
would he take any responsibility if anything happened to these people? Would he feel at all that his decision was a factor in that?
The president was asked and answered this yesterday. I defer you to his comments. Reagan.
The question that I have is, what is the responsibility of the taxpayers to protect highly compensated government employees who might be a threat? Who might be threatened by something, whether it's Fauci, and I don't know who would go after Fauci. You know, they want to pretend like some MAGA person's going to go and kill Fauci. Nobody's going to kill Fauci, but who's going to kill Bolton? I mean, but if you're that worried about it, and I assume these people live in houses, I assume they have gates, I assume they have like a Ring doorbell. But if you're that worried about it, and Fauci's making over $400,000 a year, then hire a security team. I don't know what the responsibility of taxpayers is going forward. There are highly paid talk show hosts in this country. I'm not one of them. But, you know, I mean, they're like, people have bodyguards. Some people in the national media have bodyguards, but they pay for them or they're stations pay? I mean, what is the taxpayer's responsibility? How long does that last? Indefinitely? Forever? 5 years? 2 years? 6 months? I mean, Bolton's been out of office for a long time now. John Bolton's been out of office for a very long time. I'm sure Iran, they want to kill everybody. I don't understand. It's, you know. Yes, and the Biden administration pulled Robert O'Brien's security detail in 2024. Thank you, man. No one cared. You didn't hear a bleep about it. You didn't hear a word about it. Trump said the same thing the other day. So this is, again, asked and answered. And I'm not going to criticize Jackie for asking the question. But at the same time, I didn't expect Jackie Heinrich to ask that question. You know what I mean? I was a little surprised by it. I'm not going to lie. A little surprised that she asked that question, especially because Trump said this the other night. I don't know what cut it is, Matt, but take a listen.
Which one?
The one with Trump saying Fauci should pay for his own security detail.
Oh, give me 1 second. I have that.
Okay, no problem.
Can't find it. Yeah,
that's okay. In the meantime, here's John Bolton. By the way, if he's so worried about dying, why are you going on TV all the time? Like, really, if you're that worried that you're going to get killed, why don't you go into hiding? Really, this is kind of remind. You know what reminds me of? Meghan Markle. She wants her privacy. She doesn't want to be bothered, yet she's constantly in the media, constantly doing interviews, constantly, you know what I mean? Like, John Bolton, if you're that worried about it and you feel like you need a security detail, I got an idea. Maybe don't go on national television where they could find you. I don't know. If you're that freaking terrified about it, or are you doing this Zoom call at home? Are you in a bunker? But here's John Bolton on national television. I don't know how scared he really is. He's on MSNBC with Jen Psaki. They know where to find the guy. Doesn't sound like he's, like, you know, pulling a Better Call Saul and changing his name and working at a Cinnabon. I don't know how scared he is. I mean, if it's me, like, if I'm that worried about it, and the president pulled my security detail and I was really that worried about it, I'm shaving that mustache. That's the first thing I'm doing. I'm shaving that mustache. That Bolton mustache was a thing. He tried to run for president. His campaign lasted like 5 minutes or something. But I remember this. We were at CPAC back in 2015. He was getting everybody mugs with a mustache of John Bolton. I told him, I would never support you for president, you freaking warmonger. Not in a million years. I told him that. No chance. I didn't even want a stupid mug with his dumb mustache on it. But if this warmonger is that afraid, shave the stash, to get a haircut, and go move to Omaha and work at a freaking Cinnabon. I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what to tell. I've gotten death threats. I don't know what to tell you. Put your house into an LLC. I don't know. But here's John Bolton going on national television, going after Kash Patel, not hiding in a Cinnabon, not shaving that stash. His stash is prominent. Look at this clip if you're watching on YouTube. Does it look like John Bolton's that worried? First thing, two people in this world who have mustaches that you could spot a mile away, Tom Selleck and John Bolton. Is there another mustache, Burt Reynolds, God rest his soul, is there another mustache that you could see that far away, I ask you? Yes, the guy from Roadhouse, who does the other commercials, Sam Elliott. Yes, Sam Elliott's got a mustache like that, too. I'd say top three mustaches by far. Top three mustaches in America. You know, you see that mustache in my way, you're like, that's Sam Elliott. Tombstone, Roadhouse, guy's a legend, right? That's John Bolton, warmonger. That's, look at him, right? Tom Selleck. Look, here's Tom Selleck. He's going to reverse mortgage. I'm going to get money for my house for the reverse mortgage, however that thing works. That somehow magic money comes out of my house. So if I'm either of those three guys and I'm worried about my life, I'm shaving. That's job one. Job number one is shave. In the case of Better Call Saul, he grew a mustache to hide. He went into hiding with a mustache. He didn't have a mustache. Goes into hiding, works at a Cinnabon, stash. These guys would have to remove the stash if they're really that worried about it. So, John Bolton, why are you keeping the stash, dude? Maybe you're not that worried. Maybe all of this is, as usual, overblown nonsense. So, here's Bolton, cut 22.
other aspects of his career, and particularly then in the Niger rescue of American hostage that you also recounted, that Mark Esper wrote about in his book. It shows Patel taking roles and making statements that are completely beyond the scope of what NSC staff should be doing. And this is important when you think about
him potentially being director of the— You see that mustache? Look at that mustache. Just pause it right there. I really don't even care what he has to say anymore. I'm just saying, you see that mustache? Look at that. Look at that thing. You could see that mustache a mile away. If I'm Iran, what I would say is go kill— you don't have to picture the guy's face. Just a picture of that mustache is all you need, and then they'll find the guy. So if what Trump should do to protect John Bolton is send him a can of Barbasol and a freaking razor. Problem solved. And then you don't have to spend the price of security. Done. Problem solved. And then in the case of Fauci, if he's that worried about, then grow a stash, okay? Grow a mustache. So President Trump can solve this very easily. Just do a partnership with Gillette. And everybody wins. Everybody wins. Can I hear Trump now talking about the security detail, please, if I could?
But Matt, you can't have a security detail for the rest of your life because you work for government. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Would you feel partially responsible if something were happening to, say, Dr. Fauci or John Bolton?
No. You know, they all made a lot of money. They can hire their own security, too. All the people you're talking about, they can go out. I can give them some good numbers of very good security people. They can hire their own security. They all made a lot of money. Fauci made a lot of money. They all did. So if they, you know, felt that strongly, I think that certainly I would not take responsibility.
All you got to do, send Fauci a razor. I mean, send Bolton a razor, and Fauci just grows a stash. You're done. Boom. Problem solved. See, I'm a problem solver. That's what I do. I solve problems. I also know this is, as usual, overblown hysteria. As usual. And where do we draw the line? Secretary of State gets lifetime Secret Service detail, the vice president, the Secretary of Defense. I mean, where do you draw the line? Generals, like, where do you draw the line? Iran wants to kill everybody. Where do you draw the line? Seriously. Does everybody who is involved in the decision to bomb Iraq or invade Iraq, do they get lifetime security details paid for by the taxpayers? Because I'm sure they're on a list somewhere. There's a lot of people on a list. Does every person in a high-level position of government, then, are they entitled to lifetime taxpayer-funded security? No, of course not. What a stupid question. I mean, it's ridiculous we're even having this conversation. But Trump did do something really important. He paused foreign aid, which stopped money going to Gaza for condoms. Yes, you heard that correctly. Here's the White House Press Secretary, Caroline Leavitt, cut 31. 31.
Pause with so little notice. Why not give organizations more time to plan for the fact that they are about to lose, in some cases, really crucial federal funding?
There was,
at least for a period of time.
There was notice. It was the executive order that the president signed. There's also a freeze on hiring, as you know, a regulatory freeze, and there's also a freeze on foreign aid. And this is, again, incredibly important to ensure that this administration is taking into consideration how hard the American people are working, and their tax dollars actually matter to this administration. You know, just during this pause, DOGE and OMB have actually found that there was $37 million that was about to go out the door to the World Health Organization, which is an organization, as you all know, that President Trump, with the swipe of his pen in that executive order, is no longer wants the United States to be a part of. So that wouldn't be in line with the president's agenda. DOGE and OMB also found that there was about to be $50 million taxpayer dollars that went out the door to fund condoms in Gaza. That is a preposterous waste of taxpayer money. So that's what this pause is focused on, being good stewards of tax dollars.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what we need, and I appreciate you saying that, because that's exactly what needs to happen. Exactly what needs to happen. Tom Holman, the border czar. By the way, we're loaded up today. I mean, this has been a crazy show, crazy afternoon. Get ready, kids, because this is the way it's going to be for the next 4 years. It's going to be awesome. Oh, and Google Maps. This is great. Actually, this is really cool. Google Maps is going to use Gulf of America instead of Gulf of Mexico. Isn't that cool? And also Mount McKinley, too. Because there was a question about that. President signs an executive order renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Will that be a thing that actually sticks? Google Maps, Gulf of America. You know why? Because Google, like all the other tech companies now, realize that they need to kiss Trump's behind. They need to, if they want the energy, which they want, to be able to power their artificial intelligence. And if they really want their platforms to succeed. So they need to cut the crap, stop the censorship, stop with their nonsense, and get along with a guy who's going to be able to provide for them the energy that they need to expand their artificial intelligence operations, because they need a massive amount of it. And had Kamala Harris won, you would never, ever in a million years have the kind of energy the United States of America would need to power artificial intelligence. This whole China thing, catching us off guard with this Chinese artificial intelligence that like nobody even heard of until the big news story came out about it yesterday, completely catching us off guard. What was the name of it, Matt? The Chinese artificial intelligence?
It's called DeepSeek.
DeepSeek. No one even heard about it because the Biden administration had their heads up their you-know-what, not even thinking about this. And the guys at Google understand the energy needs. So, yeah, you know what? All these tech companies are finally done with standing in Trump's way because they understand they're going to succeed under this guy. But make no mistake about it. This is purely for their own self-interest. Make no mistake about that. You get that, right? Obviously. And that's the big story of the hour. Brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. I got a big fourth and final hour straight ahead for you. Don't go away. Thank you for streaming on YouTube. But Emma's Roofing and Siding, lifetime warranty on your roof. The best in the business, Owens Corning Shingle. And 10% off for each and every one of my listeners. That's right. If you're listening right now to the sound of my voice, you get 10% off at Emmons, 10% off Anderson Windows, 10% off doors, 10% off siding, 10% off any job you need. Emmons even has a bathroom remodeling division. And yes, Emmons remodeled the bathroom in my old home. And they did a great job. It was phenomenal. I was very happy with their work. Matt and Stephanie are dedicated to customer satisfaction, so they'll make sure you're happy. What are you waiting for? Reach out to them today at emmonsroofing.com. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. 10% off for every one of my listeners, each and every one of you. emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.